Thank you. Dana Gint, 9011 West Hawthorne Lane. The conditions of the Ballpark Commons PDD were created to protect the municipality, the citizens, and the public. From day one, this project has been a marginal deal, and now conditions are being retreated to remove costs and protections. The PDD was an agreement with conditions. Major amendments should not be allowed. The conditions of the PDD are not for the benefit of the developer, but now it appears that there are no conditions that cannot be removed or altered. The condition to have a light sound study is to protect the public and the environment, not to benefit the developer. The condition to have the municipal water and sewer was to take the present facilities off the private well in the landfill. Again, this condition was to protect the visitors and the facilities. Reducing the landscaping is yet another reduction in developer costs, but not beneficial to the community or the environment. More unacceptable changes include extending hours of operation and lighting curfews and increasing building heights and density. To have the highest density in the city at this location is to try and make the financial aspect of this project work. And there is not adequate parking, restrooms, and other basic necessities proposed also. One of the only reasons to offer a personal guarantee is because the developer is unable to get a letter of credit from my financial institution. Have you all scrutinized the personal balance sheet of this developer? Changing financial conditions should make us all very worried. You are depleting all the conditions of the PDD. When the economics go sideways, the developer starts to cut things that are put in place to the benefit of the community. What exactly has improved in this project since the initial approval to justify these changes? The initial conditions were created to make this acceptable to the taxpayers and community, and now you are allowing extensive and major amendments and revisions to that initial plan. I also have a letter from the Milwaukee River Advocates. I believe some of you received that. Could I read that into the record?
We have it.
You have it? And I also have a letter from Russ Plowa. Could I read that into the record?
Why don't you give it to us and we'll put it in the record?
Okay. He's a, you know, he's a financial guy, unlike myself. Thank you.
We also, for the record, have email correspondence from the Zelansky family. That'd be Justin and Kristen. And Andy and Becky Kleist from Greendale. And that'll be put in record. Anyone else? Anyone else? Alderman Nelson.
A few weeks ago, I attended a meeting with Mr. Morrow and his staff, Michael Roberts, Sarah Arnold, with a constituent regarding the Ryan Creek Interceptor. And coming into this position and hearing about it over the years, you get bits and pieces on both sides of this of the island, which what it is. And this constituent had a lot of technical questions and requested a meeting with Mr. Morrow. And I guess we don't really recognize staff for the work they do enough. And Mr. Morrow, with the patience of Job, explained in great detail to this constituent and myself, because I had a lot of questions as this prolonged, how it works, its origin, why there's odor issues, flow, all the things you did or didn't want to know, he provided. And I just want to just recognize you, Mr. Morrow, and your staff for an outstanding job. Yeah, I'm sure you don't hear it enough, but thank you.
Thank you, Alderman.
I'll second that.
Alderman Mayer.
I just wanted to say mention a couple of things on the Ballpark Commons, both as a citizen and as an alderman. When we get to the items on the agenda, I'm going to move that we take each item separately so that each item can be considered on its own. Otherwise, I'm going to vote no on the entirety. There are certain things that I don't agree with and can't go along with. One is the senior housing. The other thing is I believe all of the requests for permitted use should stay special use so that this council, who's elected to represent the taxpayers who are paying the majority of the bill, or maybe not the majority, but a significant amount through the TIF district for this project, should still have the final say. So all of those that are requested to be permitted should stay special. And finally, the comprehensive lighting study and sound study have to be done, have to be completed. And that's just a couple of the items. Thank you.
Okay, citizens' comment period. Anyone else wishing to speak? Sir, come forward, give us your name and address, please.
Sorry if I was late a little bit. My name is Lucas Amell, 1021 East Melody Drive. That's in Oak Creek. I'm here both on behalf of myself, my clients as a business owner, who many of which are from Franklin area, Greenfield area, Brookfield. So they're all affected by the ballpark commons. I'm also on the board of directors for Ware Nature Center, which is directly affected as well. The noise issue has already been hit on by multiple people. The lighting issue has already been hit on by multiple people, so I won't waste any of my 3 minutes on that. Franklin's always been an area that's been prided for, you know, its nature and its quiet. I feel like that's why a lot of people live here or choose to move here, and I feel that this is just going to affect it negatively. I have clients talking about this all the time, complaining. They used to go to bed, you know, older people go to bed maybe 8 p.m. Now they can't. I've had clients move to quieter areas, and I feel we should, if we have a chance to set a social precedent, now would be a good time to do it. Otherwise, there's going to be golf courses along the lake. They'll tear down Grant Park. I guess that's all I really had to say.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Anyone else? Seeing no one else rise, I'll close the citizens' comment period. We'll move on to item C, the approval of the regular meeting minutes of the Common Council meeting of June 5th. Any additions or corrections?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item D, a public hearing on a resolution to vacate approximately 0.1664 acres of right-of-way. Madam Clerk.
The Common Council of the City of Franklin will hold a public hearing Tuesday, June 19th, 2018 at 6:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Franklin Common Council chambers upon a resolution introduced at the Common Council meeting held May 1st, 2018 and which proposes the vacation of approximately 0.1664 acre of right-of-way which extends along South 116th Street directly south of 116th Street, south of West Ryan Road and west of Loomis Road, adjacent to property located at 11607 West Ryan Road, bearing tax key number 891-9989-004, Mills Hotel Wyoming LLC owner, and 11533 West Ryan Road, bearing tax key number 892-9997-000. Wisconsin Department of Transportation owner, located in the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, which is bounded as legally described on record in the clerk's office. The legal description and map of the area involved and a copy of the proposed resolution are on file in the office of the city clerk of Franklin, Wisconsin. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Section 66.10034B and 8B of the Wisconsin statutes. Copy of the proposed resolution in draft form is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the city clerk at Franklin City Hall during normal business hours. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed draft form resolution is subject to revisions following public hearing and the further consideration by the Plan Commission and the Common Council of Franklin.
Okay. Just for the public's information, this is a little spit of land that's on the end of a triangle that nobody will ever use. Mr. Fuchs, is that a suitable definition?
It is. 7,248 square feet of unimproved 116th Street.
Okay, this is a public hearing. I'll open a public hearing. Anyone interested in speaking on this particular matter, please rise, come forward. Mr. Schott, no? Yeah. Anyone else? All right, going once, going twice, seeing no one rise to speak on this matter, I'll close the public hearing. What is the agenda item? Without objection, we'll move on to item G2, a resolution to vacate approximately 0.1664 acres of right-of-way, which is the extension of South 116th Street. Alderman Nelson.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. move back to the regular order of business. There is no organizational business. There is no letters and petitions. Move on to the consent agenda. Any interest in separate action?
Motion approved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item G. Sorry, Jesse. Move on to G3 on page 45. Resolution conditionally approving a 3-lot and 1-lot certified survey map for Bear Development, generally located at West Loomis Road, south of West Ryan Road, and west of South 112th.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G4 is on page
61.
Getting old. It looked like a 51. An ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to rezone lots 1, 2, and 3, certified survey map for an area on West Loomis Road at South 112th Street.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G5 is on page 79, an ordinance to amend 15-3.0418 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District 13, which is Walmart, to allow for a building exterior signage change.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G6 on page 91, a resolution approving a condominium plat for Apollo Condominiums of Franklin at 9067 and 9069 South Cordgrass Circle.
So move.
Second.
This is Alderman Nelson night. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. It's always Alderman Nelson night.
Finally, you get me. Finally.
You and I like it when it's mayor night, right?
There you go. Not always, though.
No. Geez, yeah, not always. G7, page 115, a resolution approving a special use amendment to allow restaurant building remodeling at McDonald's.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G8, page 153, is the second amendment to the Declaration for Prairie Grass Reserve. And all I will say as the mayor and manager of our staff, we're getting out of this business. We're not being in the middle of this.
Agreed.
Alderman Nelson.
Mm-hmm. Today, having an opportunity to speak with both sides that are here tonight talking, personally, this is a very, very thick and cumbersome issue that we're being brought into here, and I would like to request that the city attorney give his view on this.
And Jesse, use your microphone. Mr. City Attorney.
Well, the bottom line is there is an existing agreement, and it's a four-party agreement. The city, Malk, and the developer, and the homeowners association. And it has a specific provision about the $25 a year, as the Malk representatives stated on the record. And the proposed amendment alters one paragraph of that language and puts some changes in it. So in the real world, if it gets approved and is recorded, you are going to have a new property owner reading, well, look, we have to pay $25 a year as an assessment for the maintenance of the Prairie Grass Preserve conservation area. And then another one that says, well, the board is going to pay $1,625 or $50, whatever the amount is. So there's different words. And I just had trouble with how do you change or have a different provision on the same subject matter in one piece of paper that gets recorded that is totally agreed to by one party, the homeowners association, which reads different than an earlier agreement which was signed by four parties. So I have an issue with that, and I just don't see it appropriate for me as city attorney to recommend approval with the inclusion of that provision. Now, in the council of packet, the city planning man, which the city planning manager prepared the documents for, he also notes that one of the provisions allows for an 8-foot wide or diameter sign, which is not consistent with the Franklin Municipal Code, which allows for a 6-foot limit. I will say that I am sure there are homeowners association deed restrictions throughout the city that have provisions that are, in some cases, in a number of cases, more restrictive, and in some cases, less restrictive than the municipal code, and aren't consistent. But in the ordinary course of business and pursuant to the Unified Development Ordinance, the Common Council does not approve homeowners association deed restrictions. The only purpose with regard to a new development and a requirement for homeowners association restriction documents is to provide all the property owners with notice and a duty that if there's a common area, such as a stormwater management pond, that all property owners are responsible for its maintenance and the cost thereof. And if that does not occur, the city may enter the property, complete the reasonable and necessary maintenance, and costs may be specially charged to each property in the subdivision. That's the only purpose of review. In this particular case, and I do have a 6-7 foot high, 2 files on prairie grass preserve subdivision, I have notes that back in 2004, when all these various documents were present, that it was noted on the record that the deed restrictions for the homeowners association, which are before the council this evening, were separate from the other agreement, which is a declaration of deed restrictions, conservation agreement, and protective covenants, which was entered into by the city and MALC, as well as the developer and the homeowners association. So at the time, I noted that I had received a copy of the homeowners association restrictions, which is only applies to property owners in the subdivision, that had removed a line or a provision that said the city shall approve. And I noted that because city staff probably asked that it be removed. And then years later, when it came back, it apparently re-entered what was recorded. So there's a, otherwise this wouldn't be here because the city doesn't normally approve homeowners association deed restrictions other than to review for maintenance of common areas. So problem here is that it's inconsistent with a four-party agreement that's of record, so it would read two different ways. I totally understand what the Prairie Grass Homeowners Association representative stated. One of the first things I thought when I retrieved the files from the archives and when this first came up, which was late last week, was actually I responded to city planning manager, was, is MALC aware of this? And we heard earlier about, well, one of the MALC representatives received it but didn't contact the Homeowners Association. I guess my one of my first questions was, did the Homeowners Association contact MALC? City planning manager didn't know about this until receiving the amendment. I'm not exactly sure when that was, but from his correspondence to me, I think it was within the last 3-4 weeks at most. So maybe at this point in time, it's up to the council what the council wishes to do. You know, I understand the homeowners saying what they want, and this is not some massive change, but it does change language, and it can be interpreted differently. So it's up to the council, but maybe the thought would be to put it over to the next meeting so that Mark Area Land Conservancy members can talk to the Homeowners Association representatives.
One additional thing on there, with that motion, would that satisfy with the additional verbiage on there, or Because obviously I agree, too, that if there's any sort of confusion altering documents, the parties have to be aware of it, the parties have to communicate with it, even if it's kind of, you know, semantics, perhaps. But adding that other part on there, do you think that would suffice, or would you recommend holding it over for the next meeting?
Wauk Area Land Conservancy is a party to the other agreement, where the proposed amendment from the Homeowners Association changes the language to one provision. So ultimately, in a perfect world, you would have all four parties to the original agreement agree to any kind of recorded document at this time or in the future, which reads different on the subject matter that's in the original four-party agreement.
Right.
So thought was, and that maybe a meeting and a discussion makes a difference, and maybe not. I don't know. I don't know that the city planning manager engaged in any specific review of this four-party agreement. I know he went into great detail because he went back in the archives to 2013 as well as 2004 with regard to process, but what I received from him was originally was just the amendment delivered materials and what was in front of the council the last time this happened in 2013, which did not involve any provisions in this 2004 agreement between the four parties. So if, just as staff as a city attorney, there is a motion in the packet on the action sheet, I would add a provision to that, which would be and to not approve the provision of the amendment which amends the Declaration of Deed Restrictions Conservation Agreement.
Let me suggest one. Since I think, and I've heard from three parties of this four-party agreement, and I don't think any of them have an issue with the net goal. It's just the substance of the language. And I can tell you from the mayor's perspective, I want us the heck out of this. I don't want
Agreed.
Us to touch this at all anymore. You know, I don't want to be approving anything for a condominium association. That's not our business. And now we're tying up our legal staff time with it. My suggestion is to refer it back to staff, that the three other parties involved get together and come to the city attorney for a one-hour meeting, not all day, a one-hour meeting, of course, with the flexibility the city attorney does his own thing, but that presents us with a package that fixes the inconsistencies and gets us the heck out of the agreement. And they can do that as quickly as they want to. So it's the motion to refer back to staff and have the condo association, MALC, and that whatever the third party is, get together, figure it out, and come to us with a solution, not us making the solution.
Sorry?
Homeowner association.
I'll make that motion.
I used to run a condo association, so sorry. Move the second to refer it back to staff. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Let's try it again. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to the item G9 on page 227. It's a rezoning of a single-family parcel on 35th Street.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Natalie, are you here?
No.
No, I don't see her. Okay. Oh, there she is. We're going to do the big one first.
All right.
Move on to G10, page 237. This is amendments to the Unified Development Ordinance and PDD. Mr. Fuchs. Let's do them one at a time.
All right. So I do not have the probably the same page numbers as in the council packet, but I can refer to the page numbers of the track change ordinance. We which hopefully can keep everyone on the same page.
Hold on, let me get it. So, okay. The track change ordinance starts on 240. No, that's the UDO. 249. Your page 5.
Your Honor, what are we doing? Connor?
249.
So what are we going to be doing here? We're going to go...
One item at a time.
One item at a time. Is the developer then and his team going to be able to address each item? Because I sat here for 4 or 5 hours for Plan Commission. Not my district, but Alderman Nelson was here, to, I think, till 10:30, and they went through all these items. The Plan Commission voted on each item, so...
I don't have an issue. Greg, Mike?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, Nick.
So the first change is...
Top of the page says 50-3044.
Top of the page is, yes, it's page 5 of the ordinance.
So it's 245 and you're 249 in the packet.
And we'll actually go to the next page, page 6, number 7. The applicant is proposing to strike a parking structure. Staff has no objections.
Let's do the one. Okay. Is there a motion to approve striking section 7?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one, Nick.
Page 7, number 9, the building size is being proposed. The ordinance right now requires a special use for buildings greater than 46,000 square feet. The applicant is proposing to increase that to 90,000 square feet, and they'd also like to change the building height and number of stories from 3 to 4 stories or 60 feet.
Can we be told what Plan Commission did to it when you get to these items? Can you let us know?
Yes. The Plan Commission on this one recommended approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Just one discussion. The main reason staff did not approve was the parking issue, correct?
A parking concern, correct.
And this, for the audience, what buildings are these? It's the apartment buildings on the south side. This is the multi-tenants on the baseball side. All right, Alderman Dandrea.
Just to interject, we did have additional conversation regarding additional parking that eventually, if need be, put in an area where there is a future 2-ballpark area that would be farthest to the south of the development. That could be flat. It could be a tiered parking structure depending on the need of the area. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we ignored it. It was a thorough discussion regarding the need, the potential need for additional parking.
Alderman Lemaire.
And I did have extensive discussions with Mr. Deedle on that as well. And so for the future, if the parking is needed, there is consideration that can be taken care of later.
Okay, there's a motion to approve the change. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 10.
Item 10 is requesting that existing facilities have the option for to utilize public water would be optional for existing facilities.
Instead of required,
correct. And I think a new well was recently put in, too.
Alderman Mayor.
So in the future, they would still have the option if that well goes bad. They'd still have the option of booking on.
Correct. How it is written, yes.
Now, the current city policy is if there's a water main running past your house, you're not required to hook up, although you are assessed. Is that correct, Mr. Morrow?
Correct.
City engineer shaking his head up and down. So this action would not be inconsistent with current practice.
Correct.
And the motion on this?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Item 11.
Number 11, the Plan Commission did not recommend approval of this request. It's a request for temporary stone crushing operations to be located south of Rawson Avenue.
I have some questions.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. So how far is it going to be from the nearest residence? How many feet?
About 700.
700. And is it similar to the one that's in Hales Corners?
Yeah, very similar.
Has anybody driven by that and listened to it? Orman Nelson, if you can take a moment to probably explain that, but what he saw, but I'll do it as well.
Let's talk to me.
All right, Your Honor. So we had a little bit. There was a debate. The Planning Commission had a debate on it, and I think there was at least from the audience some.
Pick a spot.
Yeah, some concerns about how a lot it was going to be, and frankly, I don't think that is the case. I saw the item in operation in Hales Corners. I didn't find it to be allowed. It is going to be a construction site, and if I'm wrong, I'll ask Your Honor, Mr. Marceau, some questions.